Michael Bennett, I would like to point out, used much the same device a few years later when he gathered the collective stories and experiences of Broadway dancers for a groundbreaking little show called A Chorus Line. That 1975 offering, which coincidentally opened at Broadway's Schubert Theater, would go on to win 9 Tony Awards and the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not taking credit for inspiring A Chorus Line, but I do believe the operative words here are collective stories and experiences and Schubert. And yes, the same approach of gathering stories and experiences was used before, most notably for the Bible, but that was centuries earlier and the idea pretty much laid fallow until, well, I don't know, maybe when I did it on a Schubert fellowship in North Carolina. Again, I'm absolutely sure I had nothing to do with the success of A Chorus Line. I'm just saying it was a delightful coincidence, and perhaps that I was an unsung genius. Yep, that's pretty much all I'm saying. Anyway, by the time I had written 3 scenes, I knew we would finish the play. And about halfway through the process, I knew it would be successful. I knew it was good. Which is weird for me. I was never positive. What the hell was happening? It was the power of the group that made everything fall into place. Everyone seemed to have something to prove. We were all at that delicate point in our early 20s when we were looking for an experience to give us validation. This, coupled with the fearlessness that comes with youth, drove the engine of the play's creation. I'm not sure if it was fearlessness or just the fact that we hadn't been exhausted by life's disappointments yet, but I haven't known that kind of mental energy since then. The show we created was aptly titled Feast, and the experience of staging the play was certainly a feast for my soul. The play was a huge hit, beyond anything I had ever imagined. After the first night, word of mouth spread around campus, and the play was selling out every night. We had definitely hit a nerve. It wasn't a matter of any sort of theatrical brilliance. It was just the product of being in the right place at the right time, and of course, having a narcissistic audience hungry to stare at its own reflection. The play centered around a young man stumbling through all the obstacles of adolescence, who then goes to college only to realize that he can't find himself there in the din of the late 60s and winds up leaving school. The Raleigh News and Observer's chief critic gave the play a rave review. He said it was better than anything that had been done at the drama department in the last 20 years. I deeply appreciated the compliment. But I am sure it didn't sit well with my professors in the drama department. That kind of backhanded praise never does. After the run of the play, we didn't want to stop. In a few short weeks, we had managed to put together a tour of North Carolina colleges with a grant provided by the North Carolina Arts Council. The cast and crew were given credit for these performances. Plus, we had to return to campus with a new play that spring. With the help of my friends, I learned the most invaluable lesson. You can create other ways of doing things and still participate in the society at large. I returned to campus to meet with the temporary head of the drama department and find out my grade, as the play had been written for credit toward a master's degree. That temporary son of a bitch gave me a B. After that, I permanently disliked him.